a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We can do Round Ball Rock. Okay, here we go. Do you want me to just keep rolling on that?
Give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember
it. the pitch to the brothers or whatever.
I remember it.
It's music.
What do you have against this music? Alex Carey, Cleon Wall joining you here for the Jazz Notes podcast.
It just seems funny on a jazz podcast, we're talking that we have funk bring us in. It's fine.
Funky jazz?
It's not even funky jazz.
No.
It's just funk.
You're going to be really uptight about this way.
If we're going to do it, after let's just first bust out the Herbie Hancock. It's fine.
After the first game of the season, this is what you're going to give me? You're going to give me a hard time about the music?
After that first game, I think, maybe I'm just a little bit grumpy because I didn't like exactly how the Jazz looked. But I guess a win's a win. Scott Mitchell reminded me today, a win's a win, get over it. And I said, okay, yeah, they're 1-0. It's fine.
You're wiping that big brow of yours, and I'm not speaking about your hairline. I'm speaking about my hairline.
Thanks
because...
a lot.
I have a huge brow also. You're saying, whoosh. I mean, we talked about it earlier this week on the Jazz Notes podcast, and I think we talked about it too, Alex, and that is all you care about that first game is get the win.
Get the win.
Just win, baby. Mm-hmm. Are we talking Al Davis here? I mean, I guess we're in California. Not quite the Oakland Raiders, but just win, baby, and that's exactly what they did. They just won.
Yeah.
It was funny. If you look at some of the quotes after the game, Dave Yeager, who's the coach of the Sacramento Kings, he basically said, yeah, I really liked what I saw from my team. We came out on fire. You know, that was a good game for us. And then you hear from Donovan Mitchell, and he's just the opposite. He's like, yeah, we didn't play that well. We need to improve a lot of things. And I'm like, you guys did win, right?
Yeah, and it was a W. And if you were to look at the stat line, you go, hey, Donovan Mitchell does what he should have done, which is he scored 24 points. But the shooting was really lacking at the beginning, and you saw him come out kind of early because he was really ineffective. They were defending him well. Alec Burks comes in, and thank heavens, Alec Burks was like, I got this, and was like, he was 3-for-3 from behind the arc. He pulled down 13 points, in the evening, one of seven Jazzmen in double figures. It was a big scoring night for them against a team that gives up a lot of points, but they don't give up a lot of points typically. And they give up 117 to start the year out, so I was a little bit grumpy about some of the defense. If you looked at the stat line, though, Joe Ingles had 17 points in the first half. You had 19 and 15 out of Rudy, which is, I mean, if he averages, that's the thing that I've been hoping like my entire life. I'm like, can we get his points up? I'd rather he was a 13 and 15 guy instead of a 12 and 15 guy. I want him to get that. I want him to be at that point. And I thought he had a good game, but if you look at it, 123 to 117 against the Sacramento Kings. Fine. Bring it home. You're 1-0. You started off the season with the win. That's all I think about.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a few questions here. More disappointing and more impressed. So what were you more disappointed in, Alex? The Jazz's defense? Ricky Rubio just kind of laying an egg and not even finishing the game? Or Donovan Mitchell's cold start to this game? More disappointing to you?
Donovan Mitchell's cold start, and it wasn't just the cold start. It was that he was trying to do way too much. It seemed like he was like, okay, I got to take everybody on my shoulders. He's like, no, you don't. This is a team effort. And he had some really sloppy play and some turnovers that I think that's why Quinn Snyder goes, I sit down for a minute, all right? Just think about it for a minute. But then again, he was also clutch in the second half. He had some big moments, and I think that that for the Jazz to have guys like Alec Burks on the bench, for the Jazz to have the depth that they do in some of these positions, it was good. Ricky Rubio took some really nasty shots at the front end of the game too. I was like, what is going on right now with these guys? But everybody was. They were down 9-0 before they even, you know, started thinking about getting back into this thing. But I was impressed with the way Joe Ingles started up. And again, a win's a win.
Okay, I'm just going to say
more disappointed in Donovan Mitchell, though.
Okay, I'm more so disappointed in Ricky Rubio after what we saw last season. I thought he has all the confidence now that they're going to allow him to shoot shots, and he's going to be smart about it. He's not going to take dumb shots. I think he knows what his range is and what his abilities are and what he's capable of doing. I guess I was just really disappointed with how he came out. And the fact that he didn't finish the game, I'm not going to say is telling to me, just actually a little surprising to me. So I think I was a little more disappointed in him. But maybe I'm gonna give you the Aaron Rodgers. Relax.
Relax. We're going to be fine.
Relax. It's the first game of the season. It's okay. These guys can still turn it around. And yeah. Maybe that's why I'm not disappointed in the defense. Yeah, they could have played a lot better defense. But I'm just like, I think that's going to come along as the season comes along. I'm not really too worried about the defense. So, Alex, more impressed with Joe Ingles or the bench?
Joe Ingles. I thought that he was the guy who did the... He already has that look on his face, and he made some defensive plays against an inexperienced Kings team that he was like, okay, look, guys, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to do this. He has the relax kind of thing going on. He made some shots. He made some big threes in the first half. He was the one who gave them their first lead. It was 38-39. He hits a big three. It becomes 42-39. And basically the Jazz didn't relinquish anything after that. And I think that kind of confidence gets the rest of the teammates up for it. So I think Joe Ingles, I was more impressed by. Although, like I said, Alec Burks, when he came in, I was like, thank heavens for Alec Burks last night. And his 13 points, it really made the difference.
I would probably say, I was impressed with Joe too, but I think I was more impressed with the bench because of what you said. Not only did Joe keep him in the game, but the bench kind of brought them back into the game. And the fact that they had two bench guys that late in the game stayed in the game. And we're talking about Dante Exum and Jay Crowder stayed in the game, and they're the ones that finished things off. So I'd probably say I was a little bit more impressed with the bench last night. You've already talked enough about what Alec Burks did, so I'm not going to rehash that. He had a good, solid game. I think I was more impressed with the bench, and I think that's a good thing going forward. You can look at that bench and say, we can rely on you guys. And we're not even talking about Grayson Allen didn't get in the game last night. Tabo Sefolosho, of course, he didn't even play because he's still serving a suspension for... medicinal purposes. I will just say that.
It's legal in Canada, okay? If he was on the road in Toronto, it would have been fine.
It would have been okay, yeah. It's all right. Anyway, so I'd probably say I think that there were good things that you can still take out of it. And the most important thing, they won. And now they can turn their focus to Golden State that's coming up Friday night. A game that you can watch on ESPN, a huge game. And Alex and Scott Mitchell, they're going to be live right outside of Vivint Smart Home Arena, getting
That's
you
right.
ready for 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Well, it's tomorrow night. It's Thursday right now. We're recording this right now. So 7 to 9 p.m. So you're going to be out there. Anything that you're kind of hoping for or expecting? Because you got the defending national champions.
Yeah,
They're the world champions. The defending world champs coming in to the arena. Anything you're kind of hoping for from the Jazz?
And I think that I need to do what I need to take kind of a dose of the medicine that I dish out sometimes, which is, okay, that was one game and they're forgetting about it. This is going to be a totally different game. They're going to be at home, first of all. The Warriors are a very different team. And the Jazz are going to be up for this game. They know that the eyes are going to be on them on a national stage. They don't want to do what the Rockets did and almost lose by 30 at home to open up the season. So I think it's going to be a really hard-fought game, or a fart-hot game.
One of those two,
It's going to be hard-fought. I mean, the Jazz are going to come out firing, and you got to have a quicker start. That's it. I mean, once you hang in there and go toe-to-toe, even against the Kings, if you let them have a start, they're gonna do it. Guess who won't relinquish a 17 or a 15-point lead? It's the Golden State Warriors. So they're gonna come out and pop you in the mouth. And so I know I'm using a lot of football analogies right now, but I'm just saying this team is it's gonna be a very different game, and I think the Jazz are gonna be different. And Quinn's gonna dial his guys in.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's gonna be a close game, Alex. I think Golden State's going to win. I think they want to show... I mean, they were already on national TV, and this will be the Jazz's first time on national TV this season, but I think that the Warriors are going to want to show that that they're still king of the hill. I think they're going to want to come out and kind of smack the Jazz around.
They remember those games from last year when everyone looks at it and goes, So the Jazz, they just beat up on Golden State last year. It's like, hold on. You caught Golden State at some weird moments. I think that they're going to kind of help them remember who the biggest team in the West is and the biggest team in the league and who the defending champs are. So.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here when we come back. Got a couple of quick hitters for Alex and I, and then we'll be out of here for the Jazz Notes podcast. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. A couple of quick hitters here for you. Just want quick things from Alex and I on a few of the news and notes. G League going to pay $125,000, Alex, to elite prospects who decide that they don't want to go to college and they're not eligible for the NBA draft. What do you think?
I think it's a smart move. Calipari talked about this and how this could help. And if you give guys options and if they don't work out, to allow them, and this is where the NCAA needs to also do their part, if it's not working out for them in the pros, let them come back to college and let them have some eligibility in college too so they're not threatened with this. If as soon as you touch a floor as a pro, you're not eligible for college anymore. It's like, well, look, a lot of these guys go in there, they think they're going to be pros, they declare for the draft, and then they maybe even play in Europe for a second, but maybe it doesn't pan out. And allowing guys to be able to have some flexibility in their careers, it makes for better basketball. I think if the G League offers this kind of money and their elite prospects, it will get the guys who are actually going to be interested in making the money part and not having to tempt the colleges to make those attempts to woo them that direction. So I'm all for it if it cleans up the college game a little bit, but also gets everything a little bit more competitive. Get the G League competitive. Make that the developmental league and not upper levels of college basketball. I wish football would do the same thing.
I'm just going to be interested to see how many players actually take advantage of this. $125,000 for some of these guys is going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
But is it going to be worth it to actually go and start and play against guys who are going to try and put them down as much as possible? And, you know, we'll see.
Everybody will be fighting for a spot in the NBA. And if you have the talent and you're willing and you can show it off, this is what they're doing in college. You're just showing off talent against guys that may or may not be better than them. And in most cases, if they're really elite, everybody else is not going to be better than them. They're going to be better than everybody. So pay them that money and let them go. Let them make decisions like adults and not have to tempt the college game.
ESPN Zach Lowe, he wrote his crazy predictions column. A couple of quick things here that I wanted to talk to you about. He was talking about Courtney Lee being traded from the Knicks, and then he just threw a, well, here's an idea. You know, they could try and trade Courtney Lee to the Utah Jazz, and they could trade him for Alec Burks because Alec Burks has an expiring contract. They'd want to trade Courtney Lee away because they'd get Alec Burks' contract back. They wouldn't re-sign him, and then they could sign a big free agent in the offseason. But the line that caught my eye was the fact that Zach Lowe said, you know, would the Jazz do this? They might have to attach a second-round draft pick along with this. Would the Jazz do this? I mean, is there really anyone in free agency that the Jazz would be able to get who is going to be better than Courtney Lee? And I just thought, really, are we still there? Are in 2018, 2019, Alex, are we still there that the Jazz just cannot get any big-time free agents to come in? Because National Writer says, probably not. I mean, someone like Courtney Lee would probably be just as good as any free agent the Jazz could get the next season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, unfortunately, to a degree, he's right. But when Donovan Mitchell had the year that he had last year, if they continue, no one cares. I mean, the honest truth is that if the Jazz are a 55-win team and they have a chance to be a title contender, you're going to get guys suddenly who are like, I'll go to that team. I'll go play in Salt Lake City for a couple of years. And that's when you get guys coming who end up liking it, you know, right? I mean, and the Jazz are just going to take a free – here's the other thing. Dennis Lindsay doesn't want to just take a free agent who's not going to fit into the system. So if you think to yourself, oh, they need some superstar, and you think about a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's a disaster right now with his organization, the Jazz don't want that guy on their team. Just because he's a big name and he's a big scorer, that doesn't mean he's going to fit in, and they need somebody to fit in. And maybe that's not the giant free agent, but I think that in terms of wooing people, the best thing you can do is keep winning and having guys like a massive defender in Rudy Gobert and a superstar on the rise with Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, it's not really like the late 90s or the mid 90s when the Jazz traded for Jeff Hornacek, because you could trade for a guy like that and he'd be the third star on a team. And I think the Jazz could maybe sign someone like that in free agency, but trying to find a big time free agent, I just don't think it's going to happen. Oh, it would be nice if it would. Mm. It sure be nice. I mean, think of how huge that news would be, Alex, if they were able to sign. I'm not going to sit here and say a Kevin Durant, but, You know, if they were able to get a big free agent
next
season.
Scott Mitchell famously on our show keeps saying, the Jazz are like a Kevin Durant away from the title. And I was like, every team is Kevin Durant
exactly.
away from a title.
Exactly.
Come on.
All right, last thing. Zach Lowe also said that one of his crazy predictions is that the Jazz sign Ricky Rubio to a decent salary in the offseason. Ricky Rubio going to be a free agent this next season. You think that's going to happen, Alex?
What does that mean, decent? I mean,
it means that basically...
In the $20 million range, or
no,
what?
No. Actually, he was saying that maybe the Jazz will be able to sign him to close to what he's already making. Maybe a little bit more. I think Ricky's making around... $12 to $14
yeah,
million dollars, somewhere right there.
Yeah, I think that that paying more for him would not be worth it. I mean, not that he's not... I mean, that's just... That's the money that he's worth right now. I mean, that and so they can get away with paying him $13 to $15 million and be fine with it. What'll be a little bit weird is when they sign him and it's going to be like a $17.5 or $18 million a year thing, and everybody looks kind of at him sideways and goes, "Has he earned that yet?" And the Jazz have certainly done that before. But I think that he's probably worth about where he's at right now.
But if they do pay him a little bit more, like you're talking about, I think those guys that we saw that happened to in the past season, we're talking about a Derek Favors and a Dante Exum, they signed him to smaller contracts. So, yeah, I don't know. That's going to be interesting. Here we're talking about free agency next year, and we're not even hardly into this season yet. We played one game. Exactly. It's time for the funky music now. Thanks for downloading the Jazz Notes podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or maybe on the KSL News Radio app. Thanks for listening to us. Make sure you give us a review, and hopefully you'll subscribe in the future. We'll talk to you soon.